We're talking about taking ground tonight. This is just a prophetic theme that we felt for our church for this year, that we're not just going to go round and round in circles this year, that we're actually going to advance. We're actually going to take ground in our church life, and we are. We're starting a new church together. C3 Powerhouse is taking ground and expanding. And in our personal life and in our world, we want to take ground in an area of your life where you want to grow, you want to see freedom in, you want to see breakthrough in. We're working together to see and believing God that we're going to see some breakthroughs in this taking ground. And it all came out of the scripture in Joshua, where it talks about the Israelites marching around the city of Jericho. You might be familiar with this story, where it's kind of like the scripture says they advance, they walk around the city, and it was the first city that they were going to take in the promised land. And they marched around in silence for 6 days, and on the seventh day they marched around 7 times and then yelled and blew their trumpets, and the walls came down in the most miraculous of ways. And this is what advancing and taking ground and believing with God that something supernatural can happen in our circumstances because we're obedient and we're taking steps that might not even make sense in the natural. They're just walking around that city going, oh, what are we doing? I don't understand it. They're not saying it out loud, of course, because they were silent. But they saw those walls come down, and then they plundered that city and they took it. It was the first one of many in the promised land. So this is what the taking ground concept has come from this year. Hebrews 11, which is the chapter of faith in the New Testament, it refers to this in verse 30. It says, it was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down. So we're going to talk about how can we grow our faith? There's so many opportunities to grow our faith in life, isn't there? In my early parenting days and, well, in my whole Christian life, there's been lots of opportunities for me to grow in faith. But I was recalling this story when my kids were little. And if you don't know my kids, they're fairly active. They're fairly full of life. They get up to mischief and they cause me a bit of grief. So there was times, I've got a photo actually of my kids when they were little, because they look very angelic. This one on the left is Jackson. He's the one that I'm going to be talking about tonight, because there's a lot of stories that come out. He looks amazingly cute. Mitchell here on the right, and he's up the back here with the big, big beard. Mitchell and Gemma here in the middle, who was up meeting leading early on. And so as much as this story's about Jackson, I thought I'll just put it in context with the whole family. So there's the children. The other photo, can you put it up? This is about the age. Jackson's got that look on his face. Mitchell done a little bit as well. He was like 7 years old here. So the story that I'm going to tell you is when he was not quite seven, and he wanted to come to church on a Sunday night, and I wouldn't let him. I was keeping him home because we've got a big school week or whatever. And John went to Sunday night church. I stayed home. Well, Jackson decided he would run to church from Caloundra up to here. And I don't know what happened, whether he lost his way or he wasn't making it. Anyway, he disappeared. And it was night church, and so it was getting dark. So for a six-year-old, this was a scary moment. And so I was kind of like trying to be cool, it's cool. He'll come back in a minute. He's not the kind of kid that's going to come back on his own. And so I was there, and my mum was there as well. Gemma was a baby and Mitchell was just a little boy. And after a while, said to the neighbour's kids, did you see where he went? Yeah, they said, yeah, he went up to the main road and then he turned right. So it's scary for a parent, because it's getting dark. We'd also had stories of kids being abducted on the Sunshine Coast in the year before this had happened. So I'm starting to get some angst in me. And so after a little while, half an hour goes by, there's no turn up. I rang John. I said, you better come home, because we've got a missing child. And he's down to preach that night. He's like, okay, I'll be there. Anyway, I was like, jumped in the car, start driving around. I drive around Caloundra region. I'm seeing nothing. The fears starting to kick in. and it's just the, oh, what if, like this kid, he's just a little kid. He's got a lot of spunk, but he's little and he's vulnerable. And so I'm driving around, the fear's starting to, the mind's starting to race, and I just felt like God said to me, faith over fear. Right then, he said, faith over fear. And it was just like, okay, God, I'm going to have to make a choice to go to faith right now and not let fear consume me. Because fear was the automatic reaction and it was consuming. So I was just praying protection over him and that you would bring, Lord, you'd have angels, that you'd bring him home safely. And I just kept going to this place of faith, believing not in what I'm seeing in the natural, but in what I'm praying, God, that you'll bring him back. So another half an hour goes by and it was scary. I'm telling you, it's like after 6 o'clock by now, we had later church back in the day and John had come home and I drove home and said, I can't find him. We waited a little bit longer. Sure enough, he turns up and he is defiant. He's just like, you know, here I am, what's going on? How many people looking for me? You know, like, have the police been called? Are they interested? We're very like relieved, but also, you know. Oh. Anyway, so John's like, okay, cool, I can go back to church and preach. He literally did. He drove back and walked in just until he got up onto the stage. But that was a defining moment for me. Because it was just, can you go to faith despite what your circumstances are screaming at you in the moment? Can you choose faith? Can you choose to believe in God, to trust in God, to call in that miracle? And it was a huge sort of setting point for my faith to grow in that moment. There's so many opportunities for us to grow. So tonight we're going to talk about faith and how to take ground in our personal lives. God wants us to have an abundant life. He wants us to have life and life in abundance. This is what Jesus said. I came that you might have life and life in abundance. Does that mean it's going to fall in your lap and you're just going to live an amazing, incredibly abundant life? No, of course not. That would be awesome. The Bible is full of promises of that abundant life. But there's also an enemy out there who's trying to devour also. There's promises about health and healing. There's promises about finances. There's promises about freedom, about having life, about salvation. There's promises for your family, for your marriage, for your kids. There's promises for salvation. There's promises for confidence and breakthrough. So what is it tonight for you? The promises that we're going to take a hold of. Maybe it's a job. Maybe you're leaving school and you need a job. Maybe you need finances. Maybe you need God to come through in your marriage. Maybe you need direction. God, what's my step? Maybe it's a relationship thing in your family. Maybe it's a successful marriage. You've seen in your family line, you've never seen a successful marriage. And you want to believe that that can happen for you, that you can have that successful marriage. Maybe you've never had anyone go to uni in your family, or maybe you've had no one ever own a home in your family. And that's the promise that God wants for you. Hebrews 11, verse 6, this is the chapter on faith. It says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So this is the baseline, believing that he exists. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't have a personal relationship with God. In every service, we give an opportunity to introduce you into that personal relationship with God, where you can receive the love of God, where you can receive his promises for your life and faith for your future. First of all, it comes by acknowledging that he exists. That's faith. You can't see him, but you believe that he's real and that he can make a difference in your life. Hebrews 11, verse 1, what is faith? This talks about what actually is faith. Faith is the substance, that's a confidence, that's an assurance, that's a certainty of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence is an assurance, it's a conviction, it's a proof of things not seen. Faith is how we turn God's promises into our reality. That's faith. So we can grow faith, we can cultivate it, we can have it imparted to us, we can strengthen it. So I'm going to break down what faith is and how we can go after it, how we can see God release those promises in the Bible for us today. Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus says, "You don't have enough faith," Jesus told them. "I tell you the truth. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." Wow, that's powerful. That's the power of faith and believing something as small as a mustard seed and something that we can grow, something that we can cultivate in our lives. So I'm going to encourage you to start a faith project. Because we can start, but how do we actually grow it and progress in it? And even when knockbacks come and doubts come and setbacks happen, we can get back on track and go, okay, I've got a faith project. I'm going to believe for something. I'm going to go after it. And I'm going to believe in faith and get a confidence and assurance until I see it come to pass. And maybe some of those people in the Bible that didn't see what they were believing for come to pass. But God says they died in faith. They believed and they died in faith, even though they'd never seen it in the natural. That's what faith is. I'm going to believe and hang on till the very end. Maybe this is your very first faith project. Let's go after it together. Maybe you've had a few before. Maybe you've seen some from start to finish. You're going to start some new ones. Maybe you've started some but dropped off and been discouraged or been distracted. Tonight, we're going to go again. See, we can believe for some big things and they kind of are the big impossible things. Sometimes it's just like, start believing for the little things, the small things. You know what? You want to see healing, or maybe you want to see your body healed, or you want to pray for healing and see people healed. Start with the small things. There's a headache. You pray for that. I'm going to believe that that cold's gone in Jesus' name for myself or someone else. We're just starting with the little things. We started in some little things like anemia. I was anemic in pregnant. We're like, come on, God, let's see those levels go up. And sure enough, a couple of months later, the doctor's like, oh my gosh, they won't even go back to normal. You'll be lucky if they stay the same. Well, sure enough, they went back to full normal. I had a goiter in my thyroid. It was just enlarged thyroid. I've had nodes on my thyroid. We believe that God would remove them, and He has. And it's like, okay, these things aren't life-threatening and they're not like super bothering me, but we're just going to pray and believe for healing and grow our faith in those areas. In finances, what are you believing for in finances? Maybe it's for God to meet your need this week. Maybe it's for Him to increase your income just a little bit. Believe for the small things. You know, we would pray and believe for our finances to increase, I don't know, $100 a week. And just those little things, it wasn't like we were super stretched or pinched, but we're just going, okay, we want to grow that faith muscle of finances. So we're going to believe that God would give us $100 a week. And then it happens and we get encouraged and we go, okay, let's believe for something bigger. Let's step out in faith. And I've talked in a story about how we went on holidays and we didn't have any money. And we just packed up the car and the kids and we took one piece of jewelry and we went to the cash converters and see if we can get a bit of money. They said, oh, we'll give you $80. We're like, that's not enough for a week's accommodation for a family of four at the time. And, you know, we got to the point, it was like $200 was the amount. And we're just like, all right, let's go in faith. And we stepped down and we rang places and we found a place on the Gold Coast that would give us a week accommodation in a awesome resort for $250. We're like, yeah, come on. That was faith. That was a step out of faith. God is so good. So that's helped us as we believe for bigger things and buying homes and increasing our finances. God is so faithful. So let's talk about four things we can do to grow stronger in faith. You got to start with a need. Anyone got a need? Anyone got a need here tonight? Come on. Let's start with a need. We're going to go on a faith project. Do you accept the challenge tonight? Turn to your neighbor and say, I accept the challenge. I haven't even told you what it is yet, but I believe that you can do it. Come on. Okay, we're going to start. So four things I'm going to give you, four things that we're going to do on this faith project. The first one is the Word of God. Oh, I bought my Bible too. I didn't even bring it up here. It's the Word of God. Oh, thank you, my assistant. I appreciate that. Thank you, honey. You're awesome. This is the Word of God. It's alive and powerful. This is amazing. You get the Word of God into you, into your prayer life, and it can change your world. It can change your circumstances. This is what we stand on. It's what we live by. It's what we cling to in times when we get discouraged. It gives hope. It gives foundation. It gives direction. Romans 10 verse 17, it says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. God can heal. He can restore. He can set you free. He can heal you of a broken heart. He can lift shame and guilt off your life. He can free you of fear and anxiety. So you get the Word of God and you use it in prayer. So you have a financial need. You get a word from God. And something we call a rhema word, where it springs out to you and you're like excited. This is going to help me. A financial word from God that says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. And you hang on to that and you start speaking it. I'm getting to the next one, but you can get scriptures about healing. By His stripes, I was healed. You can get scriptures about fear. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Anxiety, be anxious for nothing, but through everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. This is the Word of God. It's good, isn't it? It's powerful. You get it and you get excited and you're like, oh, maybe it could happen. So first of all, you're going to get the Word of God. Nothing is too difficult for Him. So the second one is pray. Pray that Word of God. The power of prayer is amazing. See, that Word, if it's just sitting there on your desk, it's not powerful unless you're speaking out and creating with it and standing on it and getting it in you and getting a confidence that you know that it's right, that it's going to come to pass. And that's what happens when you declare the Word of God. So we're not focusing on the need. We all said, I've got a need. That's my faith project. We're not focusing on that. When we come in prayer, we're coming with the Word of God and we're speaking that out and we're getting bold on it, and you get confidence in you, get a knowing, a confidence. See, a number of years ago, we had one of our beautiful children up there had a period of time away from God, and we would pray, a word. We had a rhema word of God, and the word was, He will not... yeah, you're right. he will not depart. No, how does it go? Hang on a second. Say it again. Yeah. He will not turn away to His own destruction. He's a faithful one whose soul will be saved. So we had this Word of God, and we prayed it every day, and we declared it, and we got a confidence, an assurance. We knew that He was going to come back to God. We knew it. We saw it. We didn't know the timing of it. We didn't know how long it would take or what God was going to do in that time or how much pain there might be. But we knew that there would be restoration in His relationship with Jesus. And thank you, Jesus, that He's back in the house tonight. Yeah, come on. That's the power of the Word of God. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Because we could hope and wish and talk and try and convince, but faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that's declaring the Word of God. So first of all, you're going to get the Word of God, and then you're going to speak it, declare it, and pray. The third one is that you're going to act on it. You're going to do something. See, I love Noah. He built an ark. He did not know. God said, build an ark. He'd never seen rain, but he stepped out in faith to build this ark that was going to save people. When I was in, I had a dream. I had a desire when I was growing up that I wanted to be a nurse. I wanted to be a midwife. And I went to a school, and it was not like homeschooling, but it was a school where you worked on your own at your own pace. And then you get to the end, you didn't do the big exams or the HSC or get the whatever score. And so I was trying to get into uni to get accepted as a nursing student. And they wouldn't accept me just off because I didn't have a OP score or whatever it was. So I had to take a step of faith because I knew that God wanted me to be a nurse and to do this. So I wrote letters to the uni. I made appointments with the uni staff. I talked to the director of nursing there. I talked to the dean of the college. I'm like, I'm getting into this uni. I had to take a step of faith. So not just me sitting on my butt and going, God, God, move, do something, open doors. I had to take a step of faith. And I got in. I got in. When I wanted to become a midwife, I'm up here on the Sunshine Coast. I'm working at Nambour General Hospital. I'm working in the paediatrics, and I'm doing my nursing, my midwife in Brisbane. And I said, I want to do my prac up here at Nambour General Hospital. Well, they said, we've never had a nursing student do midwifery in our hospital before. And I was like, no, you need to start with me. And so I wanted to do my prac up here because I lived up here. I was married and up here. And so I went to the nursing unit manager. I went to the director of nursing in Nambour Hospital. And I was like, knock on the door. I'm going to take a step. That's faith. It sees it. It believes it, knows the promises, and it takes a step. And sure enough, I was the first one, a uni student, to do midwifery at Nambour General Hospital. And then I got a job in that department straight after I finished. How do I know all this stuff and remember it? Because I wrote it down and I was building a history of faith. Let me encourage you, write things down. When things happen for you, write it down and build your history of faith. It's for your own encouragement and it's for others. See, faith doesn't sit back. Faith takes ground. Takes ground. We're taking ground by going to faith and having the fight of faith it's referred to in the Bible. It's not just, as I said, dropped into your lap, amazing life happened. It's a fight of faith. So that's acting on it. And the last one is persist. Persist. You've got to persist. Oh, because stuff happens and your faith gets knocked around or circumstances discourage you and you deal with doubt. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, it says, but we walk by faith, not by sight. That's not by what we're seeing in our natural circumstances. It's what we're seeing in the spiritual realm, and because we're walking by faith. We're living by faith. See, there will be setbacks that happen. There's setbacks that's happened in my health, and, you know, I've had to have surgery and then be on praying for people a couple of months later, praying for healing, and I'm sort of like a little bit of a doubt. Like, does God heal? He didn't heal you. You had to go and have surgery. Doubt comes into your mind, and it's like, okay, can I walk by faith and not by sight? There will be setbacks that happen. How do we rise up and resume our faith journey after we've been knocked down? See, I can't explain why some bad things happen and why some people don't see the answer that they want. There's a mystery of it all, and in faith, and some people believe for once to be healed of cancer and they die, or some bad things happen in circumstance. I can't explain that. That's a mystery to me. But I do know that there is an enemy prowling around like a roaring lion looking for who he can devour. And he puts discouragement in our lives, puts fear in our lives. He puts, you know, that thought of, oh, if I just don't have any expectations, I can't be disappointed. You know, those sort of thoughts where it's like, okay, well, maybe just aim low or don't believe in anything too major because then I can't be disappointed. That's like, they're not thoughts from God. Puts lies in there or just, sit back. Romans 4 verse 20, and Abraham, he's called the father of faith. This is a challenge for us. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Amazing. Back to verse 18, it said, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. Ah, what an encouragement to us. you know, in life, in circumstances, in setbacks where things happen, can we stand on the Word of God? See, it's fairly easy to start a faith project, right? You have a need, you say, God, give me a promise on it. That's awesome. Those guys that in Hebrews 11, they died in faith. What else can we do that helps us persist? Get around people who are going to encourage you on your faith journey. Our Taking Ground prayer meetings, this lifts our spirit, lifts our eyes to see what God can do in the supernatural. Pathfinders this week, men's prayer, get in a small group. This can help us in our faith journey. Come to church on a Sunday. I'm so glad that you're here tonight. Come out for prayer when we ask. For we'll pray for you for ministry. Say, I need faith imparted because I'm struggling this week. And that's okay because that's what happens in life. Listen to messages on podcasts that increase your faith. And praise God for the little wins. You know, sometimes there's a little thing that happens and it's just like, come on, God, I see you at work. I see you moving. Write those things down. Encourage yourself because God is good. I live with a man of great faith. He works at growing it and keeping it strong. He's often saying, it's going to work out. It's going to be all right. No, that thing is going to turn around. I remember one time we were believing for finances, a good amount of finances, and someone gave us $10. And John was so encouraged. And he said, that's the turning point. That's where it's going to be. We've broken through. We've broken through. And it was just like, really? I'm not seeing it, but okay. That like lifted my spirits. Okay, I'm going to go with that. Hang around those people. Get it on you. Be in church. Listen to the podcast. Get to prayer meetings because that sort of spirit, we need it to lift our spirit, to encourage us to persist and believe in the miraculous power of God, in the impossible, in the God of the breakthrough. God is going to do amazing, powerful things for you. In you and through you. I know that He's got amazing promises that He will fulfill in your life. Praise Him for it. Trust Him for it. Thank Him for it. And remember, it's more about your relationship with Him and you trusting in Him and believing in the God who gives miracles than in the miracle. You know, when God, He answered a prayer and gave us a dream home that He'd prophetically spoken, and we went on a journey of faith and we had so many knockbacks and knockdowns. When we eventually walked into this home, we were so grateful to God that He cared so much that He would do that for us. And we just wanted to praise Him, and we walk in there every day. We're like, God, You're so good. We're so grateful to You. So don't get caught up in your miracle, whether it's happening or not, whether you like God that day or not. Praise Him despite your circumstances because He's a good God. He wants the best for you. He loves you. He is faithful to His promises. Oh, so I'd encourage you, your faith project. First of all, get that word from God so you can stand on it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And then speak it out, declare it, get a confidence in you, a knowing and assurance. You know that you know that you know that God's going to come through for you. And then act on it. What's He asking you to do? Take a step. Be in obedience. Be bold. Do it afraid. And then persist. Persist even despite the knockbacks, the setbacks, the discouragements, the doubt. God is faithful. Are you going to lean into your faith project? Going to stir you up tonight? What a bit of impartation, bit of faith. We're going to have baptisms in a short little moment. But I'd love for us to, why don't we stand to our feet? I want us to just lean into this.